God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Matthew 4. Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And finally, Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Dear friends in Christ, let's get one thing clear at the get-go. It is not a sin to be tempted. Even Jesus, who never sinned a sin in his life, was tempted, as we'll see in today's text. A temptation is a lie, a suggestion, a seduction, a deception of the devil to get you either to doubt the goodness of God, to give up on God, or to live against God. But simply to be tempted is not a sin. The danger is when we let temptation have its way with us and drag us into the sin that will kill us. James 1 says, "Each one is tempted when, by his own evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." In today's text, the Holy Spirit deliberately leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. What's going on? St. Augustine, an early church father, put it like this. The Spirit led Jesus out to be tempted so that he could face the same temptation that Adam faced, yet without sin. Of course, Adam had it much easier. He was tempted in paradise to let go of God and please himself. But Jesus was tempted in the wilderness to let go of God and please himself. Adam also had all the food of the Garden of Eden within his grasp, but Jesus was tempted when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Yet the Spirit led Jesus into the devil's den to face Adam's temptation and ours so that he could overcome our old evil foe for us and so reverse the curse brought on by Satan's temptation and Adam's sin. Secondly, Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted so that he might be our mediator or advocate to help us overcome temptation through his power by which he overcame temptation. The late Dr. Lewis Brighton said, "Because Jesus never sinned when he was tempted, you and I need never admit defeat to sin, so long as we are in Christ. But when we are tempted, we by faith cling all the more tightly to Christ's victory over the devil, who was tempted in every way we are, but never sinned. And therein lies our victory. For even when, in our weakness and to our shame, we still sin, yet as we cling to Christ our Savior by faith, our sins no longer defeat us. For the Christ who never sinned once has covered us with his righteousness that avails before God." C.S. Lewis once said, "The whole universe is a great battlefield, with every inch of it and every soul in it claimed by God and counterclaimed by the devil." Luther described our spiritual battle like this: Satan will let pigs lie in their muck, and he will permit sleeping dogs to continue sleeping or to return to the vomit of sin. But once you become a child of God, you move from being a friend of Satan to being his enemy, and you are immediately thrust into the battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. As a Christian, you will never retire from this battle until the Lord calls you home to heaven, or until he comes again on the last day. Until then, you will either give in to the enemy and drug away to your damnation, or you will continue to battle sin, the world, and the devil with the victory that Christ won over those enemies and that victory which is now ours through faith in Jesus. As Christians, we are always living life on the front lines, in enemy territory, with the enemy firing hot and heavy upon us, and we are bombarded by no lack of war propaganda. That Satan is winning, Christ is losing, follow the devil, and enjoy life. And so we must be prepared to battle the evil one on every front. But how? First, know your enemy. When Satan tempts you to sin, he'll tell you, sinning is fun. Everyone's doing it. There are no consequences. The Christian life is boring. What he won't tell you is that your sins will kill you. So remember John 8, the devil is a liar and the father of lies, and he is a murderer. The danger in allowing temptations to drag you into sin is that unrepentant sin will destroy the life that is yours in Jesus. In fact, the devil is a liar. There's nothing boring about being a survivor rather than a statistic in this spiritual warfare we find ourselves in. There's nothing boring about using God's gifts of love and marriage, sex, of life and love, marriage and sex, people and possessions, pleasures and money, in a God-pleasing way to obtain maximum pleasure from those gifts, rather than misusing God's gifts where someone is always going to get hurt. Whenever God says no to a particular sin, it's because he's saying yes to something better. When he says no to sex before marriage, he's saying something yes to something better. That is marriage, where a woman and a man are committed lifelong until death do they part. There's nothing boring about checking into your grave dead and checking back out alive. There's nothing boring about having all of your sins and regrets, your scars and mistakes that are gnawing away at you, being totally forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. There's nothing boring about it. There's nothing boring about being given new life that will last forever with God and our loved ones in a paradise that is better than you ever dared to dream. All is a free gift through faith in Jesus. Rather than simply following the herd with your life, doing whatever the herd does to titillate your flesh, and going to where the herd goes. We are in a war. Our lives in Christ are being lived out in a combat zone. And for all of the devil's propaganda about how he's on your side, you must remember the devil takes no prisoners. Everyone who joins his side shares his fate. And that's the hell of it. So it's time for Christians to stop sleeping with the enemy and living lives indistinguishable from the pagans. Perhaps you believe that once you became a Christian, your life would be easier, rosier, smoother, sweeter. The reality is, the moment you became a child of God, the devil put a target on your back and placed you in his crosshairs. So maybe you're wondering, then, is it worth it to follow Jesus? Absolutely. If getting out of hell matters to you, it's worth following Jesus. If making it out of your grave alive to live forever matters to you, it's worth following Jesus. If living with God in the paradise of heaven matters to you, then it's absolutely worth fighting the good fight of faith. Revelation 2, be thou faithful even unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. This brings us back to Jesus, our champion. Jesus told the devil, if you want to take down those who love me, you're going to have to go through me first. Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. In Hebrew, the wilderness is where the devil lives. Jesus has come to conquer. He walks right into the devil's den and he's like, bring it on. This is not a wimpy Jesus. This is one who has come to fight for you and me and our salvation. Now, Jesus has already been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And with his hungering, he's already suffering to save us. The bread of life is now hungering. The living water is now thirsting for our salvation. The Greek word for tempt, peirazon, has two meanings. It can either mean, A, to entrap in order to lead one into evil, so that you can jump on them as guilty. Or it can mean to try or test to prove one worthy in his faith or righteousness. While the devil is tempting Jesus, trying to entrap him and lead him into evil, because if he can get Jesus to sin, then Jesus cannot be your Savior, because he'd have to die for his own sin. The tempter is trying to get Jesus to desire evil and act upon it with the effect that he would no longer be qualified to be your Savior. But Jesus is here to fight for us and to fight the evil one and to win. In fact, Hebrews 4 says he was tempted in every way we are but did not sin. And this drives us back to the point. Jesus didn't have to do this. He goes through with this battle for the joy set before him of going to the cross to offer a perfect payment for our sins so that you and I can be saved. The devil's temptations are not just to entrap Jesus to do evil, but the implication is, Jesus, sinners cannot possibly be worth this much. And Jesus' response is, even though they're sinners, to me they're worth saving at any cost, so bring it on. Temptation one, Jesus is struggling, hungry, and thirsty. You and I give up on doing the right thing when we're starving. We become cranky, irritable, impatient. We don't want to say our prayers, might butt in line. The devil now comes to Jesus with the big if word. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread and please yourself. Jesus answers, it is and remains written. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Which is who Jesus is. He is the Word. He is the bread of life, by which we live and die not. Temptation 2. In a flash, the devil shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, and the devil claims that he owns them all as a result of the fall. Jesus has come to reclaim what was always his from the devil's attempted ownership. Jesus has come to take us back too. Satan is actually offering Jesus what eternally belongs to Jesus. And Jesus has arrived to reclaim what is his. But he can only do so by letting his Father pour out his wrath onto Jesus. By not giving into this temptation, Jesus is proving himself worthy to be slain. The life he lived qualified him for the death that he died. So Jesus says, it is and remains written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus seems to be saying to the devil, you tell me to worship you. You should be worshiping me, for I'm your Lord. The devil just twists and changes his lies. He's got nothing new in his playbook. Temptation 3. The devil takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and tells him, jump, for God said he will guard you in all your ways so that you will not even stub your toe. So if you're the Son of God, and I'm not even going to grant that you are, cast yourself down and let God's angels protect you. Then everyone will know you're the Son of God. Jesus said, it is and remains written. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. I'm not even here to be tested by you. I'm here to be tested by my Father and to be proved qualified to offer a perfect sacrifice on the cross. Jesus is now doubly victorious over the devil, both as true God and as true man. And this is precisely why the devil cannot conquer you. Even when he conquers you and gets you to sin, so long as you're in Christ, Luther says, tell the devil off. Put him in his place. Yes, devil, you tempted me, and you entrapped me and led me to do evil, and I have sinned again, and I'm ashamed of it. You haven't defeated me. What do you mean I haven't defeated you? I got you to sin, and the wages of sin is death. Oh, yes, that's true, but you haven't done anything to defeat me. Because you tried to get Jesus to sin, and you failed miserably. And God says that I'm covered with Jesus' righteousness by faith. So unless and until you can get Jesus to sin and bring charges against him, you cannot bring charges against me and have those charges stick. For I'm covered with Christ's righteousness, and I'm forgiven all my unrighteousness by his blood. So depart from me. Only Christ can defeat our enemies, and he has. So Jesus is now our strength and our victory over those enemies. Hebrews 2 says, because Christ suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So 1 Corinthians 10 says, no temptation has taken you except what is common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not permit you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way of escape so that you can stand up under it. And that way of escape is Jesus' own conquering of sin, death, and the devil. So even when we fall in sin, we can still defeat the devil with Jesus' victory over him that he gives us by faith. So when you're being tempted and you're in the middle of the battle, Hebrews 4 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, but we have one who was tempted in every way that we are, but he did not sin. Therefore, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The reality is when Jesus got crucified, it was the devil that got nailed. Our weapons are not just empty words. We use God's promises against Satan. Father, forgive them. These words are the verdict that shuts the demonic lion's mouth. It is finished. The words that we use in this battle are full of forgiving blood and righteousness. They're not empty words. For you, devil, couldn't keep Jesus down. While we live in enemy territory, we have at our disposal the same powerful word of God that Jesus used to defeat the devil. Away from me, Satan. And the devil left Jesus. The prince of this world now stands condemned. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. And God wants you to be trigger happy with his word, just like Jesus was trigger happy. It is written, it is written, it is written. Don't let the devil forget the writing on the wall. The Lord laid on Christ the iniquities of us all, and by his stripes we are healed. Don't let the devil forget that. And when the devil accuses you and reminds you of your past, you just remind him of his future. The devil tried one more time to keep Jesus from dying the death that sets us free. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, the soldiers mocked him and used the same satanic words. If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself and come down from the cross. Yet for us in our salvation, Jesus would not and did not come down off the cross until the tempter's voice was finally silenced by Jesus' victorious words, it is finished. And in those words, even though we sin daily, we are free from sin's guilt, sin's shame, sin's power, sin's punishment, and Satan's tyranny. In those words are our victory. It is finished. Amen.